following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to turn 23 of A Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone podcast casual mode. I am Black Lace, and Autumn's Bane is with me. Tell me something.
These guys just show up and start keeping your groves without even asking.
That sounds Druidish.
That's the keeper of the grove. 4 casting cost, 2 power, 4 health. How would you like if some keeper of the grove just showed up and started keeping your grove? I don't think I'd complain. The guy's got horns on his head.
Something sounds really wrong with that. He does even more than just that, though. He's a choose one, deal 2 damage, or silence a minion.
I kind of like the silence the minion and then do 2 damage, kind of S&M.
Except it doesn't work that way. You have to choose one or the other.
Silence.
There's a card. There is a card that does that. It casts, it silences and does 1 point of damage. I believe that is a shaman card.
Yes.
But we're not talking about the shaman today. We will be talking about the druid. Week's deck is the druid deck. The character is the druid character. But we're not going there yet. We have other fascinating things to talk about and exciting.
What sort of fascinating and exciting things do we talk about?
Well, if anybody out there plays Warcraft, they know Naxxramas.
Naxxramas, you know, twice.
Yes. Because
the end game content of one expansion.
And then the expansion, Naxxramas.
Yes.
But now we're going to Naxxramas thrice. Because, you want to say it?
Say what?
What's important about Naxxramas?
Well, big things important about Naxxramas. Naxxramas, beware the curse of Naxxramas, is the next long-awaited feature, the adventure mode, and it's exciting.
It is very exciting. They don't give a date. They do say that they're going to release it once they release the iPad, right?
Well, they said yes, it'll be released simultaneously for the iPad as well as the computer, and I guess what else did they say? I think they mentioned 3 things when they said it.
Yep, and we will get there. We will start from the beginning.
Oh, PC, Mac, and iPad, so
yeah.
Just both computer formats and the iPad.
Very excited about this. I am just hoping that that it's soon. I don't want to say I'm starting to get bored, but I've been playing this since the very beginning of beta.
And me shortly thereafter. But the, new cards, yeah, new art.
Bunches of new things. So we'll start talking. Basically, Hearthstone's highly anticipated single-player adventure mode has officially been announced at PAX East, Curse of Naxxramas, a Hearthstone adventure. Naxxramas to die for, the ancient necropolis.
No.
Naxxramas.
A necropolis to die for.
I said Naxxramas to die for. A necropolis to die for. The ancient necropolis Naxxramas, did that 5 times fast. A base of operations for the powerful Archlich Kel'Thuzad and his plague-bearing undead host comes to Hearthstone in a single-player adventure that anyone can undertake. The progress is going to be through 5 unique wings of the dungeon. You're going to gain...
Just like the dungeon.
Yep. You're going to gain new cards for Hearthstone by defeating the iconic bosses you face along the way. That would be the Arachnid, Maxna, the Fungal Horror, Lotheb, the Shambling Abomination, Patchwork, and basically all the other main bosses of Nax. If you played the game Warcraft and were in Nax, you would have run into them. I wonder if they're going to have a kitty cat.
No, it's not. Well, maybe they'll have a card, Mr. Bigglesworth, but...
that would be hysterical.
It would be funny.
So but, each boss will have...
You're playing solo, so you can't yell at someone else for killing it.
This is true. Each boss will have its own unique cards and hero powers at its disposal to challenge even the most seasoned of card-slinging adventurers. Yes, each boss. What they're doing is taking... If everybody went through the tutorial, you went up against Hogger and different bosses you'd seen before. It's going to be like that, except these guys are going to kick your butt.
Well, they give some pretty cool new abilities and stuff. For example, Baron Rivendare, which now that I've enlarged it, looks quite cool. He's a 1/7 for 4, and he's a legendary. But... his special ability is, and people should remember Baron Rivendare from not only Naxxramas, but fighting him for his stupid mount in Stratholme. Your minions
195 times.
Your minions trigger their death rattles twice. I can see an entire deck full of cards with death rattle just so that people could trigger them twice. Imagine Leper Gnome. Do 4 damage instead of 2.
Yep, that's pretty awesome.
Or
other
Sylvanas,
cards are...
what? You take control of 2 of the opponent's minions?
Oh, wow, yeah. That definitely is going to be a card to have. And, of course, that one is your epic.
Here's the question that I have. This is a solo play experience. So do you just play these cards in the solo game, or will you get to keep these cards to play against other people? Because if that's the case, Baron Rivendare can single-handedly change the entire meta.
Well, these are just some of the ones that are going to go into the collection. They said there's a total of 30 new cards that will be added with the Curse of Naxxramas.
So we can play these against other people.
Yes, and that Baron Rivendare is, of course, a legendary. But, you know, other one is the Nerubian Egg. Its death rattle is summon a 4/4 Nerubian. So if you've got the Baron out, you have 2/4 Nerubians, and it's a 0/2 casting cost.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this could be interesting. So there are going to be 30 new cards.
Because an egg has to be destroyed for the creature to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty clever.
Yeah.
There's another epic. Not another epic, but an epic card, Shade of Naxxramas, 3/2/2 creature. Remember these Shades of Naxxramas would show up and bother
and
us?
And kill my priest every single time, And yes, I said priest, but it's a different priest than a Hearthstone priest.
Right. It's got stealth, and at the start of your turn, gain +1/+1. So it's just going to get more powerful.
You can't hurt it.
Just like in the game. You had to kill it fast, or it would get tougher.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to read the next one? They only gave us 5. We've given you 3 so far.
Yep. Dancing Swords is a common. It's a 3 casting cost, 4/4 creature with a death rattle that basically allows your opponent to draw a card. And again, if the Baron is out, your opponent actually gets 2 cards. So that one you want to be a little careful with.
I think that's from the military quarter. Remember having to fight all those weapons? There were swords and axes and pole arms. Much fun. And the last one... cool skeleton looking dude. 1 casting cost, 1/2 creature. Whenever you summon a minion with death rattle, gain +1/+1. Again, people are just going to make death rattle decks.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the whole purpose of it. So they're trying to get you to try different things. So I can see each quarter making something completely unique. One of the things we want to mention about the quarters is they're releasing, and I'm jumping ahead, but they're releasing the first quarter free with everybody who plays. We'll be having access to that. However, all the other quarters are going to be at either gold or dollars to open up.
So I'm not going to spend another single golden coin until this is released. I will not play Arena, and I will not buy any new cards. That'll just turn into dust. I am going to save all my gold for this. Because they gave no clue as to how much real money this would cost.
No, they didn't. Curse of Naxxramas is going to open in over the course of 5 weeks. The first wing is going to be the Arachnid Quarter, which is going to be free to everybody. But after that, as we said, you're going to have to purchase the other wings if you want to play it. Now, just so you know, if you are playing Arena, these cards, even if you do not purchase the wings, those cards that are granted can show up in your Arena decks. I think that's interesting.
Well, that's one of the reasons people play Arena, to get to play with cards they may not have. And this would be, I bet the amount of people playing Arena skyrockets when this comes out, just so that people could play with the cards, especially if they don't have the money or the dust to make new cards or the gold to buy new cards. So
It'll be interesting.
They give us some insight to one of the bosses. Remember Hagen and the safety dance?
I loved the safety dance.
Well, one of the bosses you'll be pitted against within the Plague Quarter is the devious Plague Cauldron Master Hagen the Unclean. His eruption spell will put your minions' dancing skills to the test, and Mind Apocalypse will make you think you've got the upper hand. Speaking of hands, Hagen definitely never washes his. It's gross. So, Mind Apocalypse is a 2 casting cost card. A spell, both players draw 2 cards and gain a mana crystal. It's kind of odd, and it shows shows characters doing the dance in front of his stage. And his hero power is Eruption, just like in the game. Deal 2 damage to the leftmost enemy minion.
That's hysterical.
You see what they did there? They made positioning important.
Left on his left or left on your left?
Well, I guess left when you're facing him is what I assume. But it
He's not really a player.
But when you face this boss, you now have to strategize where you put your minions.
Absolutely.
Either you got to put big ones on the left so they could withstand the 2 damage, or you got to put weenies that you don't care about too much on the left to protect the others. It's going to open up a world of new strategies. Even if it's not against other players. And sometimes, as much as I've said in the past that I really want to feel the experience of playing against other people, sometimes I'm antisocial and I want to play by myself. So this turns Hearthstone into a solo game as well.
Right. And defeating him gets you a brand new card to your collection, because defeating each of the bosses gets you a guaranteed new legendary card.
That's neat.
That is neat. They also are going to have a new game board.
Yep.
It's going to have a unique game board to bet on, so it could be interesting looking. I'm not sure that the picture they show is the actual game board.
Yeah,
but,
no.
It might be a section of it.
Yeah, look at the shape of it. That's probably the upper left-hand corner.
Correct, and there might be like a different quarter in each corner.
Right, so this looks like a Plague Quarter thing. There's probably going to be spiders for the Arachnid Quarter and undead for the Undead Quarter. And
they're actually 5 quarters, so it's kind of confusing.
Well, yeah, they're not quarters.
They're not quarters. They
defeat the purpose,
yes.
But, you know...
not quarters like in a fourth.
Yeah, well, if it's the same as the dungeon, then it's going to have Plague, Military, Undead, Arachnid, and then in the center... there'll be, the dragon and Kel'Thuzad.
It'll be interesting. It'll be fun. I am looking very much forward to this. And playing it on my iPad. That will be fun to do.
That'll be neat.
Also, another twist that they're giving is they're going to allow you to test your might with challenges for your class. So the 9 unique class challenges will lie in wait within the Curse of Naxxramas. The challenges will put a difficult twist on existing encounters within the adventure, will put your Hearthstone skills with specific classes to tests, and if you overcome the class challenges that face you, you'll be rewarded with new class-specific cards to add to your collection as well.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is going to have plenty to offer everyone. The rewards are potentially great, and I could see why they want to charge for this. And I was wondering how, as a free game, they were going to make money after people bought their initial batches of cards, and this is it. this entirely new way to play the game is an entirely new way to make money.
People may not want to wait to save up gold to unlock these. They are just going to want to get them right away.
Well, if you start saving gold now.
Yep. Maybe. Well, we have no clue how much gold it's going to take to open up a quarter.
Well, I don't think it's
going to
take
gold
your,
or...
You have a 20,000 gold cap, I guess.
It won't take
that,
but still. You know, if it's 1,000 gold, it takes a while to save up 1,000 gold. But then again, I spend mine so quickly, I can't really tell.
Time to start grinding dailies.
I guess so. I do anyway. So basically, they're going to be releasing this, as we said, for the PC, the Mac, and the iPad. They won't release the date yet. They're going to tell us at a later time. So they're going to give us further details, including pricing and availability in the future. So that's where we're at with that. No more details.
It'll be released with the Blizzard trademark soon, TM.
Right. That's all they'll say. On further notes, we had some patches hit a few days ago. I believe it was around April 10th or so. It was April 10th. Official patch notes, Hearthstone will no longer remain on screen when alt tabs are pressed in full screen mode.
Liars.
Yes and no.
Liars.
Unless we're in a windowed mode, I don't know what's going on, but the full screen mode, what it does when I hit alt tab, it now allows me to bring up things that are on my bar at the bottom. So if I have websites on my bar I want to read, I can bring that up. It doesn't actually minimize the game to your taskbar. So it used to. So they kind of fixed it, but not really. The client will no longer pester you repeatedly about the season ending over and over and over again. But then again, the client hasn't even been telling us about the season ending recently. You had mentioned that even last show, I think.
Yeah, it hasn't really.
So that was another thing that they fixed, a bug. Losing an arena match and returning to the key screen will no longer cause the key to appear to have been upgraded. So if you're an arena player and you saw that, that's going on. If you cast Assassinate, you may remember that the sound would continue playing long after Assassinate was cast. Well, it doesn't continue any longer after the attack is finished or is canceled. They want you to remember to check for a pulse, though. The buy button in the shop would be properly clickable if you have 100 or more gold. The buy button was giving some people problems. That's been fixed. If you accept a friendly challenge while in the UI store or the store UI, if it's open, let me try that again. When you're in friendly challenge and you accept it, you...
Are you okay?
Strike that. Come again. Thank you. If you're in the store UI and somebody challenges you and you accept it, in the past, the store UI would remain open and would kind of obstruct your view of deck selection, so you couldn't really do it. The store UI has now been fixed. They say it gets a little clingy sometimes. My Tang gets tangled as well, so we'll forgive the store for that too.
Your what?
My Tang gets tangled.
Your Tang gets tangled. Okay.
Yes. Okay, so once again, able to start a game in any mode after exiting a friendly challenge match. It seems like the challenge matches gave them a lot of problems with the UI. That would be what I'm getting out of this. BattleNet friends on the friends list will once again accurately reflect the game shut up status of cross game friends. Minions once again get +1 health when Sword of Justice is triggered after Repentance is played. Okay, here comes the raspberry. Do you know what that's for?
Something to do with paladins.
Repentance has been getting me very mad.
Because it's not proccing.
There's another bug that they haven't addressed. I had purposely my little crusader out, the 3-1 with the shield, and allowed her shield to get smashed off of her and then hit something with her, causing her to die. And what happened with my repentance secret that was out there? Hear that dead silence? Exactly. Nothing.
Nothing
repentance.
Happened.
It didn't bring her back. She was supposed to come back as a 3-1 with her shield, and she didn't. What happened was the next turn when he killed something. That might be that change they made. I just realized it. They said you can't, some of these secrets don't get affected on your turn. Maybe that's why that happened. Maybe it's not a bug. I will have to research this further. So just, killing her off on my turn might not proc that secret. I have to wait for my opponent to kill her.
Right, because they don't take effect on your turn.
Right. Okay. All right. So no raspberry. It's working properly. I just don't like how it's working now. So yes, be aware of that. Be aware of that. If your secret is up with repentance and during your turn you actually suicide hoping that repentance will bring your character back, it won't. It'll only happen on your opponent's turn. There's something wrong with that. That just doesn't sound like repentance is working properly, even with that change. And last but not least, completing a quest when there are 3 quests in the quest log. This is a sad one. Will no longer immediately grant you a new quest. So no, you can't have 4 quests in one day. If you finish your quest log, you're done. And that's it for the patch notes that just came out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But you have something more important than patch notes.
Well, it is, I don't know if I'd say it's more important, but Blizzard just wants to warn people about things and make sure that everyone is safe. Many news sites are reporting a vulnerability that they're calling the Heartbleed bug, not to be confused with a Hearthstone bug.
Mm-hmm.
The Heartbleed bug discovered in kind of encrypted technology things. Encryptions that are used by banks and email and providers and social medias to try to keep people safe. I guess they're not working because somebody created a virus or a bug or something that's disabling those encryptions or making these super safe things not so super safe. So they didn't make a big deal about it. They just wanted everyone to know that Battle.net has not been affected by this. And so you don't have to freak out and think that, you log into Battle.net and suddenly you're going to lose $50,000 out of your bank account. But Blizzard does want to remind people that each activity that you have on the internet, each account, let's say you play 4 different MMOs and then you have your 401k account through your broker, and then you have something for school or your job, you should be using different passwords for each of those things, because if this bug, which can steal the data that you use for your password and then try to use that on other things, if they catch your password, they could then figure out that, you use all these other things and oops, you used the same password. So now they're going to screw with all of the accounts. And, I've been guilty of doing that from time to time, but I try to switch it up.
Well, I think the authenticator would still prevent anything, but they did suggest that you change your password if you use the same password that you use on everything else.
But the authenticator isn't used in Hearthstone.
This is true.
I've never used an authenticator in StarCraft or Diablo. The authenticator is just for Warcraft, as far as I know. But even that's not foolproof, and now that everything's on one, I was surprised that when they came up with the Battle.net UI and you use an authenticator, it didn't ask for the authenticator just to get into the Battle.net. It's still just for Warcraft.
Right.
But just be safe. Don't use easy-to-use passwords. Remember, passwords that have upper and lowercase letters and numbers and symbols and stuff makes it a stronger password. Putting the word secret in there is definitely not your best bet for a safe password. But most of these people know this. This is just kind of a community service.
Your community service announcement.
So we could get back to the game.
Back to the games. I want to thank Shaded for his email and suggestion of a druid deck for me to try this week. I told everybody that I didn't play the druid, I did play all week with my druid. I will explain my thoughts on that soon, but I wanted to thank Shaded for his deck suggestion. He also he mentioned something pretty interesting. He said that when we choose a class to play, he's been doing it along with us. So when we did the mage, he played the mage. When we did the warlock, he played the warlock. I think that's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat.
Thank you, Shaded, for that email, and thank you for the deck. I had to tweak it a little bit because I didn't have exactly the same cards, but what were your experiences, Autumn's Bane?
My experiences? Well, I had been playing the druid for a while anyway. I had switched over to play my mage exclusively when we did the mage last week, and I think I had gotten up to, I don't remember what I said, level 20 or 19, maybe even 18, but then I had gotten knocked back down again for conceding to priests, remember? But I played my druid this week, the limited playtime I had, and it took me back up to the top of 18. So, provided my next couple of games are not against priests or murloc decks, I think I'll be able to cross the threshold into 17, because I've been doing okay. Something unusual, the last two games I played, one against a hunter and one against a shaman, were extraordinarily long games.
That's what I was going to say. Playing the druid, I found to be slow.
But not usually. Usually my games are fairly normal time, but I played against, you know, I don't know if the meta is getting away from rush decks or if people are just getting tired of them and are switching up, but these were both control decks I was playing. So this shaman played almost nothing but totems the entire game and had a handful of cards. So that, of course, is going to extend the gameplay. And then the hunter I played, instead of playing beasts and all these great hunter cards, he just played, the defender that gives taunt and a bunch of other taunt cards. So he had his grizzly, but if you can name it, the taunt card was in his deck. It was just the most unorthodox hunter deck I had played. But both games, I got down to like 2 to 6 health before I won. I won them both. But long, long games. I felt like I was playing against a priest. It was so long.
Yeah,
so
but you don't play against a priest. You concede.
Well, yes, so how I'm just talking about, because when you do play priests, the game lasts a half an hour. So again, I don't know if that was just a fluke or just two players that happen to play similar decks with different hero classes.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
The past 2 days, I haven't played against any rush decks, just people with these, you know, control decks.
Yeah, as I said, every time I played it, I found it to be very, very, very slow. I had a lot of fun. As I said, I had not played the druid at all. And I had a ton of fun playing it, but I had casual fun. I didn't trust it enough to actually, I think I played maybe one or two games in that were not in casual mode.
Rank?
In rank, yeah. But, I mean, maybe one or two. And I won, but the games were slow and drawn out. I started getting antsy and crazy because I just wanted the games to be over. So I found it fun. I loved the choices. I loved the idea that I could do this or that, depending on what I felt like doing with the cards. But I did find them to be slow, and I did feel safer with it playing in casual.
Yeah, I think, and when Shaded wrote his email, he said the same thing, and I completely agree with him. I think of all of the special class mechanics that the game has, you know, like the overload for the shaman, and, you know, the freeze for the priest and the shaman, and just different classes play different ways. I really dig having like two cards in one.
You dig it.
For quite a lot of, yes, it's groovy. Quite a lot of these cards, I get my choice. So it's almost like having two different cards in my hand. And in Magic the Gathering, they had something called cantrips that would do this. I don't know if you remember. They were cards that could do one or the other. But that was long time ago. I don't even know if they still do that. But it's really fun. It's like, do I do this or do I do that? Especially with the minions. It's like, do I charge or do I hang back and give a taunt and more health? It's a really fun mechanic. Gives you a lot of choice.
Yep, I'm looking forward to talking about the cards too, because I was able to do some funky things with innervates and my little coin. I at one point had two innervates and a coin, so on the second turn I was able to get out Hogger.
I think innervate has some bugs, or I'm playing it wrong, but I've had innervate not give me my mana, or not all of my mana. Yep. I don't think it'll let you pass 10. So if you've got two innervates and you have a lot of spells you want to cast, don't cast both innervates and then try to get your spells out. Because I think if you go beyond the 10 mana crystal mark, you lose it. That was my first mistake, and that's what I assume was the problem, that it wasn't a bug. But today, I had 6 mana crystals, and I... You know what? That might be it. I think I solved my own problem. Never cast the innervate until you've already used some mana. You have to open up the mana crystals before you could fill it up with the innervate.
I don't know. Today I cast Hogger. No, I cast Hogger with 6, with normal, without an innervate. And then I was able, and my Hearthstone just closed down on me. I apologize. I cast innervate and then was able to call out that druid that's a 4 casting cost with the 2 innervates. So I cast 10 mana in one turn when I only had 6.
Yeah,
so it did
right.
work that way.
So that's the whole purpose of it. So I'm going to reverse what I just said. The whole point of the innervate is to give you more than you have. So
right.
With the exception of the limit of 10, that might still hold true. But I cast innervate and I did not get the extra mana, and I just don't know. And I want to go back a step before we get into the druid cards. We were talking about bugs, and I had this bug, I think, in beta, and now it's back. Yesterday or the day before, I went to cast a card, a spell, and I clicked on it and a different spell got cast. I don't know if you remember a few episodes ago I said that happened. So I clicked on, I don't even remember what it was supposed to be, and it cast the spell that gave my minions +2 to attack and savagery. Not savagery. I'll remember it in just a second. But I cast the spell that affects Savage Roar. So I meant to cast one spell, and I know I clicked on it. And instead it cast my Savage Roar, giving all my characters +2 to attack. Of course, I hadn't cast any characters yet.
Well, but your druid at least would have been able to attack, if nothing else.
Right, but it also was not the spell
that you wanted.
That I want.
I had similar
I
happen.
I wasted it. And I don't understand why. I know I clicked on the right card, and it cast that one instead.
Well, I had one of those things where the card switched places again happen. I cast my Defender of Argus, and I cast it right smack in the middle of 2 cards. And I saw it literally the screen jumped. It was the card on the left and my Defender of Argus. Where I placed him, they literally switched places. So instead of getting on the left and on the right, a +1/+1 taunt, now the Defender of Argus was now on the far left, and I only got 1/+1 taunt.
Yeah.
So that's a little buggy too.
So there are bugs, some of the same bugs there were in beta. And I've been slacking with reading the bug reports to see what bugs they know about and what bugs they don't. It's a little alarming to see bugs that you thought were gone start showing up again. You know, it's not like I was playing it, 1 in the morning and I was tired and I clicked the wrong card. These are situations where I know I didn't do something wrong and the game did it wrong.
Very frustrating.
So, there was another thing I wanted to talk about before we went into Druid. Remember we were talking about Jiraxxus a couple of podcasts ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you've never seen it. I said I only saw it like twice. Well, the week that we were playing the mage, and I meant to mention this in the last show, somebody played Juraxxus. What a broken card that is. Now I know why.
Still haven't seen it.
Now I know why warlocks who say that they absolutely love their warlock decks and have Juraxxus in it love that deck. Because first of all, I had the warlock down to 2 health. 2 health. He's 1 turn away from death. Boom, suddenly he's got 15 health. Not only does he have 15 health, he's got a weapon that does 3 damage, and it doesn't lose durability like every other weapon in the game. He just keeps swiping at me for 3 each turn. On top of that, his hero power, for 2 mana, he gets to call out a 6/6 Infernal every turn. It's like Antonidas with his fireballs. But now he's got the increased health. It's like he suddenly healed 13 health, and now he's going whack, whack, whack for 3 points of damage, in addition to his other minions on the table. And each turn, he's popping out a 6/6 minion. Like, how do you withstand that? That's just, it's so wrong.
That's pretty nasty.
It is. It's not priest nasty, but it's nasty.
Priest nasty. I'll tell you, when we do the priest deck, I am actually looking forward to it for one reason. Do you want to know what that reason is?
What?
Can you guess? I want to see how many people concede when I go into a game. I want to see if you and I are the only people that do this, that they see a priest and it's like insta concede.
People don't tend to just concede because of a class. I'm thinking, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see.
I mean, it's like the player I played today that we were very close, and I think he realized he wasn't going to win, and he just, he didn't concede. He just sat there waiting and waiting and waiting for each turn to pass. And
it cracks me up when people suicide. I've had a couple of people do that where they actually cast, they'll say, well played, and it's obvious they're going to lose. And then they hit themselves with the spell and blow up. That's just, I've been seeing that happen a lot lately.
Well, at least people have fun when they lose.
Yeah. All right, so let's start talking about the druid because we're running into time here.
The first card is the one we just spoke about, Innervate.
Zero
casting cost, gain 2 mana crystals this turn only when it works.
I have never had it not work, so I don't know what you're doing. But I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. It could be glitching on you, but I think you need to watch carefully what you're doing and see what if you could figure it out. I have 2 of these in my deck. Definitely a great card. And 0 casting cost for 2 mana. I mean, really.
I have 2 in my deck, too. This is what makes the druid such a viable class that you can have. You know how we said long ago that if there are big creatures that come into my opening draw, I automatically discard them in hopes of getting a faster creature. I don't do that necessarily with the druid deck. If I get a 5 casting cost creature, I hold on to it and pray for innervates because I can get that 5 casting cost creature out on the 3rd turn.
Yep, you can do some nasty stuff. Moonfire, 0 casting cost, deal 1 damage. Do you have any of those in your deck?
Which one? Moonfire? No, I don't.
Neither do I.
So, because druids can be played different ways, just like they can in Warcraft, I think there are a bunch of spells. I guess if you're going to play a Moonkin druid, you put a lot of spells in there. And, damaging spells. And I really don't have that many damaging spells in this deck.
Some. The next card is 1 casting cost flaw. Give your hero +2 attack this turn and +2 armor. Do you use this? I have 2 of them, but I want to hear how you use it.
I have 2. It's a great, great first turn card.
That's what I was going
to
ask you.
Because I use it the first turn. I get to do 2 damage off the bat, even before a hunter can shoot his bow. And it gives me 2 armor, so that mitigates the damage he's going to do his first turn.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was something I should be holding on to. If I've had it in my opening hand, I use it immediately. I wasn't sure if I should hold on to it a few turns and see if I could pump something up or just do what you said, opening hand, boom, smack.
I'm sure there are players who hold it, but, you know, it's a one casting cost spell, and by the time several turns have gone by, you've got, you know, better, more expensive cards. So I say just use
right
it
off
if you've got it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you do use it on, let's say, turn three, you know, where you can pump up your hero class, do one damage, get one armor, you can then cast this on top of it, and suddenly you've got three armor and can attack for three. I've done that a few times.
Also good to use against a shaman, kill their totem right away.
Mm-hmm.
Next card is Naturalize. Destroy a minion, your opponent draws two cards.
No.
What do you think? Neither do I. Nope.
I don't want to give my opponent cards.
Yeah, I don't have that. However, I mean, I could see it. They throw out a Ysera. Boom. One casting cost and it's destroyed.
Yeah.
That endgame, it could be used. I don't choose to use it. It could be a decent card.
That's a very good ability. And I don't know if, high-ranking druids use this particular card. It definitely has its uses. I'm just a little wary about giving my opponent two cards, especially if he ends up drawing a game-winning card because of me.
Mm-hmm. Next card is Savagery. One casting cost. Deal damage equal to your hero's attack to a minion.
Yeah, so without taking the damage. But, you know, your hero's attack isn't going to usually be that much.
It's either one or three, pretty much.
Yeah,
unless you double up on your claw. I think the most you can do is five.
Because
two claws and two mana for your ability.
There is another card, which we'll talk about coming down the road, called...
Is a card called You're Sorry?
It's called I'm Sorry. Savage Roar, which gives all your characters +2 attack this turn.
And
that includes you.
Right, so you could pump it, but I don't have Savagery in.
Yeah, so that's an awful lot of hoping to get a bunch of cards to align perfectly in order to use it. So I don't use it. And it's a rare.
Mm-hmm. Next card's an excellent card. I don't use it. I guess, there are just so many cards you can use. But Mark of the Wild is a 2 casting cost card. You give your minion taunt and +2/+2. It does not go away.
Yep, and to you new players who don't have many cards, this is a soulbound card. This is one of your basic cards. So I don't use it, but...
it's still an excellent card.
If I were playing Druid for the first time with almost no cards, I'd be using it. Power of the Wild. Another card I don't use. Give your minions...
Oh, no?
No. Give your minions +1/+1 or summon a 3/2 panther. It's because of the way my deck is designed. I don't know what strategy you're using, but my deck is based on a lot of taunts and minions that grant taunt and using the Defender of Argus and the Sun Fury Protector to give adjacent creatures taunt, and I have 2 Ancient Watchers in there, which are 4/5 can attack for 2. So, you know, I've had turns where I've put out 2 Watchers and a Sun Fury Protector, you know, and then suddenly I have 3 minions out. 2 of them are big minions with taunt. So, I have a lot of that defense going on in my deck, and I just can't have all of the good cards. And
see,
I could see Power of the Wild being very useful, but it doesn't fit in my deck.
Here's where it fits in mine, and I do have 2 of them. I also use the Imp Master, which at the end of your turn, you deal damage to her, and she gets a +1/+1 imp. I have the Violet Teacher. Whenever you cast a spell, you summon a +1/+1 Violet Apprentice, and then I threw Hogger in there. At the end of your turn, you get a +2/+2 null with taunt. Now, if you've got cards that start popping out other if you've got minions that start popping out other minions, and you cast that on them as a +1/+1, you've given them all additional power.
Yep.
So you've just doubled your force. Well,
I said at the start that there are a lot of different ways to play the Druid deck, just like there are a lot of different ways to play the Druid in World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. And your strategy is just a completely different strategy than mine. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying it's a completely different way to play the class. And I think Shaded's strategy was that too. A lot of token builders that he could pump. So, I may try that at some point. But the deck.
And
I
also
have...
on the second turn, you could bring out a 3/2 Panther on your second turn.
What do you mean? Or summon a... Oh, you mean on turn two when you have
mm-hmm.
two mana.
Yeah.
Yep, that's good. So, I may try to use that deck at some point, but I've actually been having good luck with my deck, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing.
Yeah. Just make a second deck and try it out.
I'd only have room for one of every class.
See, I have a podcast spot. So whenever we're doing one, I just delete the previous one that I used, unless it really kicks butt, and then just use it for the next podcast character.
Well, I had completely dismantled my Warlock deck to make try a Murloc deck at some point in the past, and I felt dirty, so I wanted to go back to my other Warlock deck, and I couldn't remember what was in it. So I've never been able to get back to my original Warlock deck because I temporarily deleted it.
Gotcha. Okay, so the next card is a 2 casting cost Wild Growth. Gain an empty mana crystal. I don't have it. I don't want to spend 2 mana just to get an empty mana crystal. I don't know. I'll get them eventually anyway. And there are enough cards in the deck that pump your mana. I don't need to do that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't either. But again, it's a basic card, so there's lots of basic cards that people don't use.
Right.
Wrath is the next card, and this is one of the best cards in the deck.
It
for
is
the casting
good.
Cost. Choose one, deal 3 damage to a minion, or 1 damage and draw a card. So you could pop off one of those weenies and get a card. That's what I meant by cantrip. Cantrips were cards in Magic the Gathering that had very limited ability. They'd only do like 1 damage, but then you'd get to draw a card. Now I remember. And
right.
This reminds me of the cantrip. But I use this card all the time. I have 2 in my deck. I love when it comes out.
It's
always
a great
gets
card.
Used. It's not one of those cards that sits in your hand waiting.
Nope, it's a good card. Next one, I actually don't have this. Healing Touch, restore 8 health. I'm hoping that between my taunts and my minions and my smackdowns that I don't need to have health restored before the game is over.
Yeah, I don't either. I used to have it, but I took it out. Mark of Nature, 3 casting cost. Choose 1. Give a minion +4 attack or +4 health and taunt. So it's almost like one of the other minions in this deck, in this class, has, but this gives that minion's ability to another minion. I, however, don't use it. Not for 3 mana.
I don't use either. No, because there are cards that will give that to the creature you're calling out.
Right.
Why waste the 3 mana? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You already have cards very similar that actually, with the casting cost, bring out a creature. So I would rather do that.
Yep.
That makes sense.
It does. Next is Savage Roar, which we've talked about. Give your characters +2 attack this turn. I only have 1 in my deck, but when it works... It's great. And my problem is, I'm like, okay, I've got this number of minions out. I'm going to use it next turn. And then they take out 1 or 2 of my minions. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put these minions down. And then the following turn,
I'll use
Savage Roar. And then they take out half my minions. And I sit there holding it, waiting for just the right moment. But the beautiful part is, even if it only affects 1 other minion, if you're down to, the opponent being very low on health, gives you the +2 also. And the first time I used it, I hadn't realized it was going to give my hero +2, and that actually made the game. I thought, okay, I'll get him down to just 1 health and win the next turn, and no, I was able to take him out in that turn because my hero got it. Love this card, but for whatever reason, I only have one in my deck. So the next one is Bite.
Chomp.
Four casting costs. Give your hero +4 attack this turn and 4 armor. So I guess that supports that other spell we were talking about. What was it? Savagery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could build a Savagery deck around this mechanism. But it's a lot of casting costs.
It's a big casting cost for a one-time deal.
For a one-turn thing, right. No.
But you can kill a creature that's pretty powerful, and by having that, you know, giving you the extra armor, because, of course, when you attack directly a creature, you do take the damage the creature has to offer. This kind of covers you a little, but I don't have it. I think it's a kind of an expensive card for what it is.
Yeah. I like to see it be maybe 6 mana, but you keep the +4/+4. You know, pay a little extra mana and get it to be a permanent ability. But it is a good card. I just, not in my deck.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said last podcast with the mage deck, some of these classes have a lot of good cards. You just can't fit them all.
Can't use them all. This one's also a good card, again, and I don't have this one in my deck. It's a 4 casting cost, Soul of the Forest. It gives your minions a death rattle of summoning a 2/2 Treant. I'm sorry. If you've got a bunch of little creatures out, they'll all suddenly have a death rattle, and when they die, a 2/2 Treant comes out. Good card. I don't use it, but it is a good card.
Yeah, I'm going to be using that when I get my Baron Rivendare.
Oh, that's true. Double that one.
Yeah, that would be just... That's awesome.
Now, the next card is a... Actually, the next two cards are musts, as far as I'm concerned.
Swipe.
Forecasting
Love
cost.
Me some swipe.
It's a druid thing. Druid swipe. That's all there is to it. Deal 4 damage to an enemy and 1 damage to all other enemies.
I've taken out the entire field with that on from time to time.
And if you've got cards that actually pump damage, wow.
Yeah, I don't have any damage pumping cards in, you know, spell pumping cards in my deck. But the good thing is you do one to a bunch of others, and maybe they'll only have 1 health left, and then you can just use your hero power to do that extra 1, or the wrath to do the 1 more. But it's a pretty decent AoE without being overpowered. It's no flame strike, but it's pretty decent, and I have 2. And it hurts the hero as well.
That's right.
Your opponent's hero, not you.
Correct.
So the card we spoke of at the top of the show, Keeper of the Grove.
That is a must.
Yep. Deal 2 damage or silence a minion. 2/4 minion for 4 mana, and it's a rare.
Good card. Good card. Because it does. It deals damage or it silences, and you get a card out that's a 2/4 creature.
Yeah, and in my particular deck, he frequently is given taunt or even +1/+1 and taunt, and that makes him a little, you know, even more formidable as a defensive minion. Nourish for 5 casting costs. We're into the 5s now. Choose 1. Gain 2 mana crystals or draw 3 cards. I haven't used it. You know how I feel about card draw. Cards. And for 5 mana...
5 is expensive.
It is expensive. Unless you've got one of those games that's going to take you well beyond 10 mana crystals where you're just hanging out waiting to do something, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't use that one. Next one either. Starfall. It's 5 mana cost. Choose 1. Deal 5 damage to a minion or 2 damage to all enemy minions. It sounds like a good card. I don't use it.
Yeah, I don't, because I told you I don't have a lot of spell damage cards in this deck. If I built a spell damage deck, that would be in it. Here's one of my favorites, especially since I have 2 of them in gold. Druid of the Claw. Choose 1. Charge for 4/4, or you can make him a 4/6 and give him taunt. I like this card. I have 2 of them, and I use them all the time.
Yep.
What about
I have
you?
2 of them, and I use them all the time. Very, very good cards.
Starfire.
Force Nature is the next one. Oh, we just did Starfire.
No, we did Starfall.
Oh, I don't have Starfire, so I didn't see it.
You don't have Starfire.
Wait, I lied. It's a basic. it's out of order because I have you don't have your force of nature's not showing up because you're in a crafting mode.
Oh, okay.
So force of, force of nature is actually the next one, and it is an epic. Good card. It is summon 3/2/2 treants with charge that die at the end of the turn. So it is a it's going to die quick, but you can get a lot of things done. You can take out some good taunts, or you can just do a quick smackdown. It is 6 casting costs. I have one. I use one.
It's a druid unleash the hounds.
Yes. Except, well, but not that, really. It,
yeah.
Unleash the hounds. You could have 8 hounds come out or 7 hounds come out. This is a tops off
usually,
at 3.
But still, and these are 2/2, whereas the hounds are 1/1.
With charge, yep. Very nice.
I was just making a comparison. I'm not saying they're exactly the same.
Very similar to the hounds. Go for your next one.
Okay, so did we pass over Starfire? 6 casting costs, deal 5 damage and draw a card. I don't use it. Save it for the spell casting via the direct damage decks. Ancient of Lore for 7 and Ancient of War for 7. You remember in Zangarmarsh?
The two ancients,
yeah.
Yes.
And
they used to give you buffs. Yep.
So I'm assuming that's what these are. Yes, definitely that's what they were. They're both epic. Kind of reminds me of the giants, you know, with the giants made of tree. So, Ancient of Lore, choose 1, draw 2 cards, or restore 5 health. And these are 5/5 minions, by the way, for 7. And the Ancient of War, choose 1, plus 5 attack, or plus 5 health and taunt. And I had one of those out today, and somebody stole it with a goblin mech tech, or whatever it's called. And then I had to use my big game hunter to destroy it. But
because he pumped it.
Yeah.
Or would it have killed
he pumped
it? Yep.
No, it had to be 7.
7. Yep, and he pumped it.
He pumped it up to 8, and then I killed
it. I'm surprised that wasn't your turn of the week.
Well, there. I just gave you my turn of the week.
There you go. The next card is the one that makes me cry.
The Ironbark Protector?
Oh, no, I don't have that one, so I don't see it. Ironbark Protector.
Yeah, 8 casting costs, 8/8 with taunt, and that's pretty nasty. I've had players use it on me when it's like, okay, now I'm free and clear, and then bam.
Okay, you know what? I had it in crafting mode, and for some reason it wasn't showing it because it's a soulbound card, so I didn't see it.
That's a pretty decent soulbound card, too.
Yes. But it's actually the next card that makes me cry, the one that is...
Scenarios?
Yes. You know what? You know why it makes me cry.
I don't have one either. Why does it make
you cry?
Do you know
why it makes
me
cry? Because when I first started playing... Yes, when I first started playing beta...
I know.
I opened up my first couple of packs, and lo and behold, beautiful Scenarios came jumping out at me. Scenarios being 9 casting cost, 5/8 creature... That alone is nice, but even better, choose 1, give your other minions +2/+2, or summon 2+2/+2 treants with taunt. So,
That's a pretty good card.
That's a beautiful card, and it was a beautiful card, and I loved it so much until they wiped it. They wiped the cards. Everybody went through a full wipe and lost all the cards they had and started from scratch.
But you got Ragnaros.
But I never got Scenarios again.
Would you rather have Ragnaros that you use in every one of your decks?
I would have made
Scenarios?
Ragnaros already.
Well, you could have made Scenarios, but you never played the Druid.
Until this week, and then I look at this deck and I cry.
So here's the thing about Scenarios. 9 casting costs, and we've talked about 9 casting costs legendaries before, and a lot of games you just don't get it out. But you got a couple of Innervates out there, and... suddenly you can have him out a couple turns sooner.
Yep. So that's my weepy card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next week we have yet to speak of, and we've been doing this. This is our fifth week doing specialized card decks. Next up is Warrior, Rogue, Hunter.
We did the Hunter.
Priest. Did we do the Hunter?
We did the Hunter early on.
You did do the Hunter.
That's one of the first things we did, if not the first.
Yep, that was a long time ago. All right, so Warrior, Rogue, or Priest. Let's see what the chat room. What does the chat room say? Give us
the
something.
The one person in the chat room?
Yes, he can control our destiny. Go for it.
Nope,
type fast.
He's not answering.
Okay.
So I say warrior.
Okay.
No. Okay. Oops, I accidentally closed the window. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding.
We have a vote for priest. You want to bite the bullet and just do the priest? Well, excuse me.
No. No. Because if something should happen where our podcast should stop and we didn't finish the whole series, I want to have gotten in something other than priest.
Really?
I don't want to do the priest next. I don't want to do the priest next. Let's do the warrior or the rogue.
It sounds like you're begging. Warrior then.
He agrees.
He agrees. Okay. So it's the warrior next week. All right. This is the top of the hour, actually the bottom of the hour. We're going to thank everybody for joining us once again. And you can find us the following ways. On Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes. Go ahead and give us a review, and we'll give you a shout-out. We have a review pending, I can see out there, but we haven't gotten the verbiage for it, or verbiage, however you want to say it. We'll read that review or discuss that review next week. Facebook, you can find us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. Thank you again. Anything else, Autumn's Bane, before we say goodbye?
No, I just, our daughter just moved to Oregon yesterday. Her plane set down in Eugene. So if we have any players in Oregon, here's a shout out to you.
Absolutely. We're very happy with Oregon right now. Anyway, thank you all for listening once again. This is Black Lace with Autumn's Bane, and happy hearthing.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.